Do you sense God's Spirit moving in this place? If you have a heart that beats for Jesus, you have to. As the worship team was leading us in worship, the tears were flowing. It's such an honor and privilege to be here with you and to worship our Lord Jesus in spirit and in truth. We've worshiped Him in spirit. Now let's worship Him in truth. Our scripture reading today is from the Luke's Gospel, chapter 6. If you would like to turn there, we'll be beginning our reading in verse 27 of Luke, chapter 6. These are the words of our Lord Jesus. He says, "But I say to you who hear, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. To one who strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from one who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who begs from you, and from one who takes away your goods, do not demand them back. And as you wish that others would do to you, do so to them. If you love those who love you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those who you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to get back the same amount. But love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great. And you will be sons of the Most High. For He is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. Be merciful, even as your Father is merciful." The grass withers and the flowers fade, but it is the word of our Lord that endures forever. Amen.
Good morning. Would you pray with me? Father, we have enjoyed and even been moved by our worship and music today. Thank you. Thank you for the words from Scripture that appeared before us on the screen and were read that move us. Father, I pray that as we come into your word now, it too will move us. But Father, that it would go beyond moving us, that we would be willing to put it into action and to do what you say, because that's when growth happens. That's when you are glorified. And Father, give us ears to hear what your Son teaches us. In His name we pray. Amen. So what is the upside-down kingdom principle that doesn't make sense to many in the world that we will look at this morning? It's pretty clear, as Dean read for us from Luke 6, what that principle is. Love your enemies. Love who? Love your enemies. Who are my enemies? Well, if we just take the words that we're going to see in the two passages we look at this morning, our enemies would be those who hate us, who exclude us, who insult us, who reject us, who persecute us, curse us, or mistreat us. And the instruction is, if you have people like that in your life, love them. Love them. There's an Irish prayer that goes like this. May those that love us, love us. And those that don't love us, may God turn their hearts. And if he doesn't turn their hearts, may he turn their ankles. Does that hit too close to home as far as how you pray for your enemies? Oh Lord, change their heart. Change their thoughts, their attitudes, their actions toward me. And if that doesn't work, turn their ankle. Most of you are familiar with who Corrie Ten Boom is. She's with the Lord now, but Corrie Ten Boom was a Dutch woman. Her family during World War II hid Jewish people in their home. Finally, they were caught, brought to prison camp. And the story of Corrie Ten Boom talks about her experience in prison camp, watching her sister Betsy die there in the prison camp. Eventually the war ends. She's freed from the prison camp and goes on to have a great ministry, writing books and speaking about her experience and her deep, deep love for the Lord Jesus Christ. One of the stories she tells is how one day she found herself at a church in Munich, Germany, speaking to that congregation about her experiences. In the audience that day, there actually was one of the German prison guards who had been at Ravensbrück when Corrie and her sister Betsy were there. After the service, this German man came up to Corrie Ten Boom. And he said this, "How grateful I am for your message, Fraulein, to think that, as you say, he has washed away my sins." And this German man then put his hand out to shake Corrie's hand. And she says at that moment, her hands stayed at her side. And she could feel the bitterness boiling within her as she looked upon this man and remembered what he had done and what he represented in her life. She wrestled for a few moments within herself. What do I do? What do you think she did? She eventually put her hand out and shook the man's hand. And she says, as she relates this story, that as she took his hand, she felt an unbelievable sense of love for that man. A man who was once her enemy. In our Wednesday night study on Jonah, which if you're missing, you're missing some tremendous teaching. Paul Tripp made this statement this Wednesday. He said, "We tend to believe in grace until someone needs it." Because when you think about this teaching of loving your enemies, you realize, whoa, that's going to take a lot of grace. Because our enemies, truthfully, don't deserve our love. It's going to take grace, undeserved love. But you see, as Mr. Tripp says, and I think it's true, we Christians, we talk about and we believe in we're convinced about the truth of grace and how important it is until somebody in our life needs it who doesn't deserve it. And then it's like we change our tune. We change our thinking. And we're unwilling to extend that grace. I mean, has that ever happened to you? You, a person who believes in the grace of God and the whole concept of grace. And then when you had a chance to express it, you chose not to. Because inside of you burned, just like with Corrie ten Boom, a certain bitterness, a certain resentment. Well, we're going to talk about that today. This idea of loving our enemies. Let me give you some background to this teaching. Luke 6, when we have this teaching by Jesus, it's in a section in chapter 6 that is just a short part of what we typically call the Sermon on the Mount. Luke doesn't give us the entire teaching, but he does give this particular one. So if we want to get the overall context of what is said here in Luke 6, we have to go back to Matthew 5, because in Matthew's account, he gives us the full Sermon on the Mount that this was part of. So if you would turn back to Matthew 5 with me and keep Luke 6 marked, because we're going to go back and forth since it's teaching the same thing. Matthew chapter 5. What we call the Sermon on the Mount is actually in chapters 5, 6, 7, three chapters in Matthew. And so there's just little excerpts in the book of Luke. But here's the full message and the context of it. Jesus is teaching people on a mountainside here. And as you begin the teaching in chapter 5, you start to notice that his subject is the kingdom. It's about the kingdom of God. And he goes on and he teaches many things about the kingdom of God, living in the kingdom of God. And as you go through, you find, whoa, this living in the kingdom of God is very different. And you have that pattern as he goes from subject to subject. Just notice, verse 21, he talks about murder. He says, you've heard it said, you shouldn't murder. Going back to the Old Testament Ten Commandments. But then he goes on and says, but I tell you, you shouldn't even be angry for no cause. You shouldn't even hate people. So it's not just that anger is wrong. Jesus says in the kingdom, you got to go further than that. Kingdom living goes deeper. It also involves not being angry for the wrong reasons. It also involves not hating. He goes on in verse 27, he talks about adultery. You've heard it said, you shall not commit adultery. The Old Testament taught that. But he said, I'm going to tell you, you shouldn't even look on a woman lustfully. You shouldn't even have those thoughts, those fantasies. In other words, in the kingdom of God, it goes further. In kingdom living, it goes deeper. He goes on to talk about divorce in verse 31. He reminds them that in the Old Testament, there was this thing about a certificate of divorce, and traditionally, the Jewish leaders had really become liberal with that, and pretty much you could divorce a woman for any reason. And he says, that's what you've been told. He says, I say to you, no divorce unless there's unfaithfulness. It goes deeper, it goes further. Comes to verse 33. He says, you've heard that it was said, don't break your oath, keep the oaths you made to the Lord. He says, but I tell you, don't even make oaths. Your word should be good enough. In the kingdom of God, you don't have to make an oath. Because in the kingdom of God, you have integrity. And your word is your word. You see, it goes further in the kingdom of God. He goes deeper with kingdom living. And then he comes to verse 38 and he says, you've heard it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. And that is in the Old Testament. But if you go back, it's in the context of the judicial system of Israel. It's not person-to-person relationships. And in the judicial system, when it came to sentencing and punishment, it was an eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. The punishment fit the crime. But you see, what the leaders of Israel had done is they'd broadened that into personal relationships and said, it's okay to pay back. It's okay to take revenge. Eye for eye, tooth for tooth. Jesus says, you've heard that, but I tell you, no revenge. No repayment. And then you come to verse 43. So he's just following the same pattern of different examples of kingdom living that are very different, that go further, that go deeper. And what is it? Verse 43. You've heard it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Now, where does the Old Testament say that? Well, it does say in Leviticus, love your neighbor. But the Jewish leaders had added over time the part about it's okay to hate your enemy. That wasn't part of the scripture. But it's what they'd been taught. And so he says, you've heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies. See, that's kingdom living. It's different. It goes further. It goes deeper. You don't just love your neighbor, somebody that's like you, somebody that treats you well, but you also love your enemy. And he goes on and says, and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your brothers, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. And so that's Matthew's version of what Dean read for us in Luke 6. And it gives you the overall context of where it came in this pattern, this flow of teaching in the Sermon on the Mount. It was part of Jesus showing that living in the kingdom of God is different. It's almost upside down. It goes further. It goes deeper. If you're in the kingdom of God, you live differently. And it won't make sense to a lot of people around you. And so that's where the love your enemies teaching comes. It's one of those examples. So let's see what he says about it and just answer a couple questions from Matthew 5 and Luke 6. How should I practice this kingdom principle? Okay, I'm to love my enemies. That's hard. I don't know if I can do it, but that's what Jesus says, love your enemies. So how do I do it? How do I show love to my enemies? Well, first of all, you don't retaliate. We see that in 5:38 before he even gets to this. He says, there's no eye for eye, tooth for tooth in the kingdom of God. You don't repay evil for evil. Paul picked up on that in Romans 12, remember, starting in 17. Do not pay back evil for evil to anyone. Vengeance is mine. And so to love your enemies, it includes something you don't do. You don't pay back evil for evil. No revenge. how else do I love my enemies? Well, in Matthew 5, it says, love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you. When someone is persecuting you, it's a very active thing. I think sometimes we broaden persecution. But the word persecute means to actively pursue someone and harass them for something. And of course, we talk about persecution in the line of our faith. And persecution is when there are people in our life who seem to actively pursue that and pursue us and keep hassling us and harassing us because of our faith. How do we love those people? Jesus says, pray for them. Pray for them that persecute you. Now, he brings up the prayer part again if we go over to Luke 6. Luke 6. And at the end of verse 28, he says, pray for those who mistreat you. So there are people who persecute you. There are people who mistreat you. They treat you badly. How do you love them? You pray for them. Up in verse 22, he says, blessed are you when men hate you, when they exclude you and insult you and reject your name as evil because of the Son of Man, because of Jesus. Isn't that like right out of 2018? Isn't it? They hate you, they exclude you, they insult you, and they reject you as evil, as if you are wrong, as if you are the bad person, as though you are evil. They reject you. And what does Jesus say? You pray for those people who mistreat you, who exclude you, who insult you, who reject you. Because of your connection with Jesus, you pray for them. Get this, friends. A way that we love our enemies is we put them on our prayer list, not our hit list. You got that? You need to write that down if you've got enemies. If you've got people who persecute you, if you have people who insult you, who reject you, exclude you, treat you like you're the enemy, you're wrong, you're evil. Jesus says, pray for them. Put them on your prayer list, not on your hit list. That's how you love them. You pray for them. Do you do that? You pray for your enemies? Another way he says you can love your enemies, there in Luke 6, verse 27, I tell you who hear me, love your enemies, do good. That's pretty practical. Do good to those who hate you. If they hate you, if that's their attitude, how do you love them? Do good. Take opportunities to show kindness. In Romans 12, Paul said, if they're hungry, feed them. If they're thirsty, give them a drink. Do good. Be kind. You don't have to go down to their level. Love your enemies. Pray for them. Do good. Show kindness. He goes on to say in verse 28, another way to love them. Bless those who curse you. Maybe there are people in your life who curse you, who say things about you. Derogatory, put you down, curse you. How do you love them? You bless them. You speak well of them. You speak well to them. You desire the best for them. You bless those who curse you. I mean, that is unbelievable, isn't it? you bless those. I mean, that goes against every fiber that makes up my own natural self. Every fiber of my old natural self does not say, bless those who curse you. You know why? Because this is a supernatural thing. This isn't natural. You love your enemies, those who curse you, by blessing them, speaking well of them, not entering into the curse back and forth with them. In fact, the word for bless, if you're into the Greek words, is eulogy. What's a eulogy? Well, we see it as something good somebody says about someone who has died. We speak well of them, right? And that's the word for bless. Bless those who curse you. Speak well of them. Speak well to them. Don't come down to their level of cursing back and forth. So, if you put the two passages together, those are the ways that Jesus says you carry this out. Love your enemies. First of all, you don't retaliate. You pray for them. You do good to them, kindness, and you bless them instead of entering into the cursing. That's how you love them. Now notice, he's not saying you need to become buddies. You need to become great friends with these people. You probably won't. You probably won't. For one reason, they may not change. They might over time. Maybe you will become friends. Maybe some of you have experienced that. But for the most part, you probably aren't going to become good friends. But that's not the idea here. You love your enemies by not retaliating, by putting them on your prayer list and praying for them. Doing good to them, kindness, any opportunity, and blessing them, speaking well. That is so different, isn't it? That is so different than how this world operates when it comes to enemies. Doesn't make sense to a lot of people. Love your enemies. Seems upside down to what we normally think, but makes sense to God. And that's why he teaches it. It's kingdom living. It's different. It goes further. It goes deeper. Love your enemies. So upon hearing that, somebody might say, okay, love your enemies, do it in this way, these different ways. I sure hope there are some good reasons for me to do this. Right? You better give me some good reasons why I should do this. I mean, you're telling me to do something really hard, and to do it in ways that just go against every fiber of my natural self. You better have some good reasons why I should love my enemies. Jesus always has good reasons. Have you noticed that? And he gives two. When you put Matthew 5 and Luke 6 together, Jesus gives two reasons why his people in his kingdom should love their enemies. So let's look at those. Matthew 5, verses 46 and 47. He says, if you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your brothers, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? You get what he's saying? I think you could summarize that. How are you going to be different as a person in the kingdom if you only do what people out of the kingdom do? They have no problem loving people that love them. They have no problem greeting people who greet them. That's easy. Everybody does it. That doesn't make you any different. And in the kingdom, he's been teaching you should be different. In fact, the message, the Sermon on the Mount, starts with being salt, being light. Remember that early in chapter 5? Being different. How are you going to be different if you just love those who love you? If you just greet those who greet you? That's no different. Go to Luke 6, see how he puts it. Starting in verse 32, Luke 6. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. If you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners expecting to be repaid. Same point. The reason Jesus commands us to love our enemies is to be different. His desire is that the people in His kingdom are different. And if you just love people who love you, you're not different. No difference at all. But if you love people who don't love you, if you love your enemy, if you're willing to love by praying, doing good, blessing people who mistreat you, who persecute you, insult you, reject you, exclude you, mistreat you, if you love them, you are different. And that's what God wants. We're to be salt. We're to be light. We're to be different in this kingdom. That's one reason to love your enemy, to be different. Because God wants you to be different. Is that important to you? I mean, that's the question you have to ask. He's given us reasons. Okay, here's the first one. He wants you to love your enemies so that you will be different in this world. Is that important to you, being different as a follower of Christ? I don't mean being different because of what's dangling from your ears, or being different because of the clothes you wear, or being different because of the way you wear your hair. Do what you like there. But this is about being different in the way you live, your attitudes, how you handle enemies, how you respond to people who mistreat you and insult you and persecute you. Is it important to you to be different as a child of God? If it is, then this should be a pretty powerful reason for you to start loving your enemies in the way Jesus describes. He wants you to do that, to be different in this world. But he gives a second reason. Here in Luke 6, let's see how he puts it. Starting in verse 35. 6:35. But love your enemies, do good to them, lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High. And the idea of that statement, if you check it, it's, and then you will prove to be sons. You'll be like the Most High. Your reward will be great. You will prove to be sons of the Most High, because He is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful just as your Father is merciful. What's the second reason for loving your enemies in the way Jesus describes? You will be like your Father in heaven. You will be different in this world, and you will be like your Father in heaven. Because that's what He's like. He shows mercy to His enemies, to those who mistreat Him, curse Him. He shows mercy and grace. Matthew records another way that he heard Jesus say it here in Matthew chapter 5, starting in verse 45. He's just said, love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you. Verse 45, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. Again, prove to be like your Father in heaven. And then notice, he causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good. Did you know that when the sun rises in the morning, it rises on evil people, on your enemies, on God's enemies, not just you? He goes on to say, and God sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. There are unrighteous farmers who get rain on their crops. Not just righteous farmers. There are unrighteous people who win tennis matches, even when they play against a righteous person. Why does God let that happen? It's because God is merciful even to his enemies. He does good. He shows grace. Even to those who despise him. That's just the way he is. And Jesus says, if you love your enemies in the ways I've described, you will prove to be like your Father. And you say, whoa, if I have to do that, I mean, you're talking being perfect. That's right. That's what Jesus said. Verse 48, be perfect as your Father is in heaven. This is part of his perfection. This is part of who God is. He shows love to enemies. He does good toward enemies. He shows mercy and grace toward his enemies. That's why they still exist. And he says, if you, in the kingdom, in God's kingdom, will love your enemies, share in that part of God's character, you will prove to belong to him, and you will be like him. Now here's the question. How important is that to you? How important is it to you to be like your Father in heaven? Honestly. How important is it to be like your Father in heaven? If it's important, well, here you go. Jesus says, love your enemies, you'll be like your Father in heaven. You'll be different in this world, and you'll be like your Father in heaven. Two good reasons to do what is totally opposite of what this world does, and that's to love your enemies. Let's make it personal as we wrap this up. For this, you'll either need your study sheet and something to write with, or you'll need a good tablet in your mind to put things on and see them. But let's make this personal, okay? I would like you to identify people in your life who may fit this description in these two passages of enemy. So let me take you through the words the scriptures used. And if there's someone in your life that fits that description, write their name on the line. Not so you can pass it around later. But I want you to see this. If you can do it in your mind and not forget it, go ahead. First of all, is there someone persecuting you right now? Is there someone in your life, wherever it might be, that just seems to be pursuing you and at every opportunity harassing you and hassling you because of your faith? Is there such a person who is persecuting you? Second, is there anyone hating you? It just seems by their attitude, their actions toward you, their words toward you, maybe they've actually said it to you, I hate you. But is there someone in your life that you would have to say right now, hate you? Put their name down on your paper, in your mind. Third, is there anyone who's been cursing you? Have they been cursing you to your face, cursing you in the presence of other people about you, on Facebook, texting, email? Is there anyone in your life who you feel has been cursing you? Put their name down. Is there anyone mistreating you? Unkind, rude, mean? It's like their mission is to mistreat you, to exclude you, to insult you, to reject you as though they think you're wrong, you're evil, you're bad. Is there anyone who's mistreating you in any of those ways in the last four here? And they seem to just enjoy doing it. It's like it's their mission to treat you badly. Put down their name. Now, I want you to look at those names. If you wrote names, okay, I want you to look at those names. If you just thought of them in your mind, now you got to somehow get them all at once in your mind, okay? You got to see them in your mind, okay? Because I want you to think about those names. This can't be abstract. I want you to think of names. As you're looking at those names, here's what Jesus says. Love them. Are you looking at the names? Are you thinking those names? Jesus says, love them. Jesus says, pray for them. Do you pray for them? Are they on your prayer list and not your hit list? Think about those names. Jesus says, pray for them. Jesus says, do good to them. Are you doing good to them? Whenever the opportunity arises, are you expressing kindness? If they were to have a serious need, would you be one of those there to offer help? Jesus says, bless them. Look at those names. Think about those names. Are you blessing them? Are you speaking well of them? Speaking well to them? Do you honestly desire the best for them? Makes it a little more personal, doesn't it? You've got names now. In one of these ways, they've proven to be an enemy, according to these scriptures. And the teaching is clear, you're to be different. And you're to be like your Father, because you're in His kingdom. Love them. Pray for them. Do good to them. Bless them. Anybody thinking, I can't do that. I can't do that. You are absolutely right. You can't. But you're in the kingdom of who? God. You're indwelt by whom? The Spirit of God. You follow whom? The Lord Jesus Christ. And a guy once said, I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. The one who loves his enemies can help you, empower you to love your enemies. By the way, at the end of telling the story, Corrie Ten Boom, after she said it was unbelievable, when she finally broke through the bitter, boiling stuff going on inside of her when the man put out his hand, and she finally worked through that and shook his hand, and she said, I couldn't believe it. All of a sudden, this love for him came upon me. It was unbelievable. Here's what she said right after that, and it's on the bottom of your sheet. She said, when Jesus Christ tells us to love our enemies, He gives along with the command the love itself. He doesn't just say, do it, and then you're on your own. He says, do it, and I will even give you the love, the grace, the mercy, to be different as a person in my kingdom, to be like me in this world. Let's pray. Our Father, we give you thanks. This is so practical. I know there are people here who have identified names. These are things that happen to many of us, and we experience some of these things that we've read. And Father, it's so easy for us. Every fiber of us wants to be bitter, resentful. We want to repay. We want to take revenge. We want to think badly of. We want to curse back. But Lord, we're in your kingdom. And we want to be different. We want to be like you. So no matter what the world does in these situations, Father, help us by your indwelling spirit to be like you and to be different. And to love our enemies. To pray for them. To withhold repayment. Retaliation. To do good. To bless. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. If you would you please stand with us? We're going to close with one song. They'll know we are Christians by our love.